Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
You're still amazing me.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's sing it out now. Sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
All the second, sing it.
Was grace that called my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Sing the third, sing it. Saved by that amazing grace of God.
Amen.
That's the best way to explain it. It's amazing. That's the best way to explain grace. It's just amazing. Amen, amen, amen. Woo, y'all sounded good this morning.
Thank you all for your prayers and visits and folks that have come up and seen us and prayed for us during the past couple of weeks. Sad situation, but I tell you what, Christians handle death like no other because we have a hope.
Right. Right. Amen.
Nothing more sad than to see somebody at a funeral and they don't have hope of seeing them again.
Right.
There's a little 5-month-old in the arms of Jesus this morning. We can praise the Lord over that.
Amen.
I'm glad I know who the Lord is.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about where this baby is. I don't have to worry about the future that's held for him. Do you know this Lord today? If you don't know him today, please don't leave this service before you give us a chance to introduce him to you. Choir, sing, I Know Who the Lord Is.
I
no home, no one to call on, and nowhere to go. Can I tell you of one? He will always be there to hear your plea.
Cast your burdens on him, for he cares for you. And through gloom and despair, his grace will shine through. It's by grace and through faith that you can be saved, and you'll know who the Lord is. I know who the Lord is, and I love and adore him. As far as the east is from the west, my sins are forgiven. Thank God I am blessed. I was lost, but he found me. Put his arms around me. Now I'm under the blood of his almighty power, and I know who the Lord is. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. Now I'm under the blood of his almighty power, and I know who the Lord is. Yes, I'm under the blood of his almighty power, and I know who the Lord is. You know who the Lord is.
I faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I've never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this I will admit, it's brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. Yes, it does. To get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Yeah, sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Oh, yeah. Sometimes a troubled sea. Oh, sometimes it takes a desert. Yes, it does. Lord, to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger, oh, than whatever troubles me. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain, oh, to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Lord, I believe.
Say this, God, the Lord uses these tribulations in our lives to knock off the rough edges and to do things in us so he can do something with us and maybe even through us. The devil seeks and gets permission, as we've seen in the Word of God, many times God allows it, whatever it might be. But we know through the Word of God that Satan, he's a destroyer and would love to do every one of us in. Now, he can't destroy our soul, so he goes after everything else. And he goes after you with full-blown intent to destroy you. He's no friend. He's not even an acquaintance. He's an enemy, and he hates your guts. So let's not fool ourselves this morning. I'm afraid we have forgotten that we're in a battle. We're in a battle that is supernatural. It's so ugly, I believe, that if we could see what was going on around us, we couldn't handle it. But the old devil, he wants to beat you down, beat you up, and leave us all laying for dead. So every one of us, on a daily basis, fights certain battles. This last week, we buried Bess Slayton's brother. A tragic, unexpected twist to the situation. They didn't see this coming. But yet, today, he's dead. Just about 48 hours ago, Maria Child seemed to be doing well. His heart rate was well over 100 beats a minute. And then almost instantly, it seems that the tables turned. Some heavy stuff, isn't it? That's just two. Then, just the week before that, Carrie McCarty calls and says Willis's cancer is back. Calls today and says he's so sick he can't even get up to make it to church. Things turn around. And even upside down. That's life. And with the added supernatural battle in our daily walk, it's the Christian life. Don't get me wrong, it's not all bad. Sometimes it sure seems like it is. We've got those days, those moments, days or weeks or months, and we kind of think it all, our world is coming to an end. So we see that life throws us some interesting curves. We know that, as I said before, Satan has the desire, as the Bible says, to sift us, to destroy us. So he fights in many ways. And then we talked about hell for a moment. The financial pressures that you folks, most of us here in this room, face every day. And the devil amplifies those situations. And then, if you're doing anything for the Lord, or trying, have a desire, excuse me, to do anything for the Lord, he's going to go after your family too. He's going to use your children, your parent. He's going to use your children to hurt you and stop you from serving. And the question over the last week that I've had to ask myself is, what do you do? Well, if Satan has a desire to stop us, why? And the only answer is this, I believe. As Christians, he wants to stop us from praising God. And so as Satan has opened up on my family this week with both barrels, I decided that at least what I could do this morning was brag on Jesus. If Satan didn't want us to brag on Jesus, and battles could cause us to be derailed and not brag on Jesus, then why would we stop and give the devil any satisfaction? He's the devil. So when he fights us, seeks to destroy us, we just need to stand up and praise Jesus in the face of the old sleuth. So this message today is a message I want to believe that this is spittle in the eye of Satan. Beat up and wounded and hurt, I stand before you today with the desire to do nothing less than make the devil angry. Angry because in spite of all the heartache, the hardship that we as God's people seem to contend with, we can still praise God and make all the effort that the devil has put forth moot. You see, we serve a God that is and is described, I believe, by the number one. Matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1, I brought my message from this text when I talked on the government, preached concerning the government of the church. But also in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him." My job this morning is to do nothing but shine a light on the Lord. For he is before all things, and all things, before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, everything is here because he was here first. Our Lord is number one. Number one is a primary number. All other numbers depend upon number one. If there were not a number one, there would be not a number two, or a number three, or a number four, a number five, and so on and so forth. So the Lord is primary to it all. G John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Anything that was made. If there's no ascended one, there can be no descending one. You with me? If there was no babe in the manger, there's no reason to believe. If there were no creation, creator, there would be no creation. If there is no designer, there is no design. If there's no Elohim, there's no eternity. If there's no forgiving one, there is no forgiveness. If there is no empty grave, there is no grace. If there is no hero, there is no heroism. Without the heroism, the adulteress would be in hell today. Without the heroism, Lazarus would not have been brought forth. Without the heroism, the blind would not have been healed to see, nor the deaf to hear again, or those that could not speak to speak once again, or those that could not walk could walk once again. But if there had been no hero, there would have been no heroism. If there's no immortal one, there's no immortality. There's no just one, there's no justification. There's no keeper, there's no kinship. There's no Lord. There's no life worth living. There's no mediator. There's no melody in our hearts. There's no news bearer. There's no good news to bear. There's no obedient one. There's no open door to heaven. There's no peacemaker, there's no peace. If there's no qualified one, there's no quality of life. If there's no ravaged ram, there's no rest in his righteousness. If there's no Savior, there is no salvation. If there's no tempted one, there is no tested one. If there's no uncrowned one, there could never be a crowned one. If there's no vessel, there's no voice. The voice of Jesus was and is the voice of God. If there's no wise one, there is no wisdom. He is made unto us the wisdom of God. For behold, a wiser than Solomon is here. If there is no yielding one, well, his life, his death, yields a redeemed world. So number one, the fact that God was first and foremost. The fact he's number one in these categories has changed the universe from a place that could not exist to a place that does exist. From a place that if it could exist, It would be a dark existence. Number one speaks of the work done before the creation of the earth. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12 and 13. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. Listen to this. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Now listen what it says. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. What he said, what he has said here, he is so first. He is so number one. He was there to lay the foundation of the earth before there was an earth. So complete was he in his oneness that he was able to lay the foundation of the earth with his left hand and create the heavens with his right hand. Now when he speaks, they all jump up at one time and salute and say, yes, sir. This number one speaks of his greatness in the creation. Number one stands alone, independent of all others. Likewise, Jesus Christ stood alone with no allies. Those that confessed their love for him denied him and abandoned him. You with me? He stood alone before Pilate. He had no hired hands, no attorneys. The court did not appoint one. He stood alone before Pilate. He stood alone before Herod. The ACLU did not jump to his defense. Christian Law Association was nowhere to be found. He stood alone. He stood alone against the religious council. There was no denominational head. There was no one to stand up on his behalf. Jesus stood alone. He stood alone before the Roman Empire. No one, no country dispatched an ambassador, a senator, or a congressman to defend him. He stood alone against the Roman Empire. He stood alone in nakedness. He stood alone. He stood alone in righteousness, in holiness between two thieves. He stood alone against the powers of darkness. I said he stood alone because even his father turned his back on him when he hung on the cross. Jesus stood alone before the powers of darkness. Jesus stood alone before the smoky gates of hell. Jesus stood alone leading the great procession. Jesus stood alone outside an empty tomb. He stood alone as he ascended into the heavens. He alone could sit on the right hand of the Father. Soon, Christians, and very soon, he will stand alone to receive his bride. Today, he stands alone like a mighty banner on a hillside, drawing mankind, saying, "If any thirst, let him come unto me and drink." John chapter 7. Matthew chapter 28, we find him speaking out, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He stands alone in Romans chapter 3, seeing it is one God which shall justify. He stood alone in Mark chapter 1 when the demons of hell said, in verse 24, "Thou art the Holy One of God." 1 Timothy 2:5, we found he stands alone, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's number one. He stands alone again in James chapter 2 and verse 19. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." I tell you, brethren, I tell you, Westside Baptist Church, our God stands alone. God's word stands alone. Matthew 8, the centurion sought the Lord and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Men have tried to destroy God's word. But God's word is always and will always rise from the ashes of their effort. God's word stands sure, stands tall, and stands strong, but it always stands alone. I read a story of a mighty man of God that was on his deathbed, and he shouted out to one that was tending to him, "Bring me the book." And they said, "The book, what book?" He said, "There's only one book. Bring me the Bible. There's just one book." The number one speaks also of our servant. Our service to the Lord, when the church becomes one with God and one in God, then and only then can we expect this lost and dying world in which we live to believe in Christ, a Christ that was sent by God. Surely, Christians, surely the resources of Jesus Christ, those that he died to give us, are adequate for the task. The first recorded word of Jesus given by the Holy Spirit of God was this, found in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He stood and he stood alone, knowing that he had to do his Father's will. Oh, dads. Oh, mothers. I wish today that our children may hear us say, we must be about our Father's business. Oh, that we could hear some young people say, Mama and Daddy, I must be about my Father's business. Oh, I cannot be where you are, as you cannot be where I am. But whatever you do, wherever you go, be about your Father's business. I can't do what Brother Todd does. You'd all be washing your clothes at the brook, banging your laundry on a rock. Wouldn't have fresh eggs or in the refrigerator, because I can't do what Brother Todd does. I can't do what you do. But we can all serve the Lord. We can all be about our Father's business. Woke up this morning praising God for the rain. Now I know whenever it rains, the crowds are off. But last year, I remember us begging for rain, asking God for rain. And it just didn't seem to come. But after the first of the year, it started raining. And even now through the summer, God has given us consistent rain. He's a good guy. I don't like some things that happen in our lives. But we serve a God. He's number one. You know, in my lifetime, I've never heard anybody jump up and say, I'm number two, I'm number two, or we're number two, you know. I've never. I've got I found in my office the other day, it goes on the end of your pencil, and it's a little hand like this. I'm number one. And, we used to have, I don't know where it is, but used to have styrofoam things. You stick your hand in it, and it was in the form of a hand and going like this, and it had number one. It says, we're number one. Never really heard a lot of people brag about being number two. Never could figure out the NIT. Can I just talk to y'all for a minute? The NIT basketball competition. You know what that is? The NIT. Those are all the basketball teams that were not and are not good enough to go to the NCAA tournament. So they have an NIT tournament. Those are all the teams that were not good enough to be in the 64 NCAA basketball tournament. So what do they do? Get NIT. And those guys get out there, and they bust their backs. They sweat, cry, carry on, do everything they can to win that stupid NIT trophy. And it's like saying we're the winners of the worst teams in the NCAA. Woohoo! I can't get over that. If I want to win a trophy, I want it to be in the NCAA tournament. You see what I'm saying? Christians, stop settling for the NIT. Stop settling to be the top of the bottom. We serve a number one God. He was first on the scene. And because time will never pass with him, and we'll never die, we'll always be with him. But if we were to pass off the scene, he'd still be around. That's how number one our God is. Let's serve our number one God. I said earlier, this week's been a rough week for some of the families at Westside. This week's been a rough week for Lisa and I. But I just want, if this is the last message I ever preach, I just want to spit in the eye of the devil one more time. And this is it. The devil is defeated. He knows it. We know it. We just don't act like we know it. There's Christians, yes, even in this church today, that should be in these pews, but they're NIT Christians. They're willing to be champion of a second-rate group of teams. I want to be champion of the winning teams. I want to challenge Westside Baptist Church this morning to wake up. I don't mean like some of you need to wake up right now. I'm talking about, I'm asking you to ask the Lord for a spiritual revival for Westside Baptist Church. We need it. We need it. You know what happens? Folks get out here and they serve, they get tired, and they quit. You know what we're wanting to do? We're wanting to help. We're wanting to help you. We know you get physically tired, and sometimes you just want to quit. But let's remember this. That we serve a number one God. And if we will serve him in spirit and in truth, we'll forget about just how tired we are physically. We serve a number one God. Let's treat him like he's a number one God. Everybody stand. Ladies and gentlemen, the invitation is this. Number one, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior this morning, we sure would like to introduce you to this number one God. He did all the things we preached about this morning. He died on Calvary's tree. He did it because he loved you and me. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 6 years old. Yes. Six-year-old dirty, rotten sinner that need to be saved. You need to be saved this morning if you don't know Jesus. As your Lord and Savior, I'm not asking you if you've said a little prayer. I'm not asking you if you've said this little prayer and went on with your life. I'm asking, was there a time when you recognized your unworthiness to be associated with a holy Lord? And it brought deep conviction into your heart of your sin, where you had to fall to your knee and say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature. That's what I'm asking. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what position you hold or might have ever held in the church, where your membership is. It does not matter. Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. So that's the first part of the invitation. Christians, it's just simple. Are you willing to serve to the best of your ability the number one God that held nothing back for us but gave it all? Let's sing.